Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it, the Daily Color Podcast. Monday is upon us. There's no way to avoid it, ladies and gentlemen, at least no good way to avoid a Monday, although it is a holiday. Happy President's Day. I'm Derek Hunter. This is the program. You can email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com, or I guess you could, that's the only way to get a hold of me. You could tweet at me, too, if you want, at Derek A. Hunter. If you're not working today, congratulations. It must be nice. I, for one, am fighting off a cold. The kids are nothing but balls of snot right now. Oh, man. Feel bad for them. I don't know if you know if you're a parent or not, but if you're ever going to become a parent and you haven't yet, there is something called a nose Frida. I don't know why it's named Frida, but it's essentially a straw that you stick up your kid's nose to suck out the snot. Kid can't, a baby, even almost a two-year-old, can't blow their nose. They don't understand the concept. You can sit there with one nostril plugged and eventually they'll exhale and maybe something will come out. But somebody came up with, when I was a kid, I talked to my dad about this. Yeah, this is an insight into my weekend. They use the turkey baster thing, you know? Everybody kind of is familiar with the turkey baster snot remover. Well, that has been replaced by something so basic and so simple that everybody who uses it, everybody who sees it goes, why didn't I think of that? Because the person who first was brave enough to stick a straw up their kid's nose and suck out the snot is now probably worth millions of dollars. So that's why you should be kicking yourself. There's a little sponge thing in there. There's a filter kind of thing to stop. It's a long enough, you're not going to suck a bunch of snot. There's still in the back of your mind as you do it, especially for the first couple of times, you think, this is going to go right into my mouth. But it's about a foot long. It doesn't happen. But still, if you'd have told me 5 years ago, hell, 2 years ago, that I would be sucking the snot out of somebody's head because they have a cold, I would have thought I had ventured into really kinky porn. But no, it's parenthood, which is the opposite of very kinky porn. It's very disconcerting because you never know. Am I going to hurt them if I, you know, how hard, there's no classing. How hard do you suck the snot out of somebody's nose? Can you hurt them? I don't know. I don't want to know. I know they don't like it, but I know that they like it afterwards. And right now the oldest kid's bedroom is just a vaporizer menthol vault so she can breathe and she can sleep. Me, on the other hand, I've got less snot and more of a sore throat. So if my voice sounds weird, that is why. It's all the drugs I'm on. Hopefully your weekend was good. My weekend was good. I didn't really start coming down with this crap until Sunday, so it'll just ruin my week. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff to get to, tons of things to talk about, and I'm taking Zicam, I'm taking Advil, I'm drinking tea, sacrificed a goat. Actually, no, I didn't. I probably wouldn't, but anyway, there's a lot of stuff to get to. It was a busy weekend. You never get a dull moment these days because the media suddenly wants to do their jobs. And after 8 years of not doing their jobs, they've kind of forgotten how to do their jobs. It's really just pathetic. It's like watching somebody, you know, say, you never forget how to ride a bike. Well, yeah, you probably could. If it had been 40, 50 years since you've ridden a bike, you might want to ride on grass at first. And with journalism, if you've allowed your journalistic abilities, as limited as they were to begin with, to atrophy for 8 years, you might want to learn how to crawl before you learn how to walk. Yet these people think that they can run. And running always gets them into trouble because they always run into something. Let me ask you a question, hypothetical, of course. How many stories have you seen retracted, corrected, updated that originally were favorable to President Trump or Republicans? Was there any? Can you think of any story where, upon reflection, it actually turns out that they were robbing the bank or they were doing this? That there hasn't been a single story where, upon further investigation, they discovered that it wasn't actually good news for Republicans. It was bad news for Republicans. Now, for Democrats, it happens all the time. It's weird how the initial instinct of reporters is to write up a story favorable to Democrats and then maybe do a little bit of this weird thing called journalism after they've published the story. Hey, maybe we should go and fact check some of this stuff. And then they discover, hey, wait, we were completely wrong. Let's stealth edit this or add a little correction at the bottom and change the story entirely. Just think of the Covington Catholic High School kids. Originally, the news outlets that ran with that story is these white kids wearing their Donald Trump hats just decided to interrupt a peaceful picnic of sweet, nourishing Native Americans who are minding their own business, just trying to have a drum circle, and all they wanted to do was be left alone until these white kids came along in their Donald Trump hats and decided to ruin everything. That was the story for about 24 hours. Then some outlets were forced to do a little journalism. Mostly because citizens started doing some journalism. Citizens started looking into this and said, hey, wait a second, this doesn't add up. And there's all this video showing exactly the opposite of everything that was claimed by, I can't even remember the Toothless Wonder's name. It doesn't matter. It'll be named in the lawsuit. That's all we really need to know. And then the story changed. And then they tried to pretend, well, we didn't really do that in the first place. Now, did we? It was vague, and we only went on what was available at the time. No, you didn't. Everything was out on social media, and you decided that it fit your narrative that everybody who supports President Trump is some kind of monster. Racist, sexist, homophobe, blah, 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 whatever you want to name it. And therefore, it was too good to fact check. There was 30 seconds of video showing them doing something. And then there was the noble Native American crying about how he was scared for his life because these mean, awful teens who hadn't even really begun puberty were threatening him. All a complete and total lie. But they'd already run with the story because the story was too good to fact check. The same thing applies to anything if it fits the liberal narrative, and such is the case with Jussie Smollett. I never heard of this guy before. I've never watched Empire. I don't really care for music or the insights into the music industry, so the show never interested me, but it's gotten good reviews and won some awards, so people must like it because they're on like their third or fourth season. But I never heard of the guy. I could have lived my whole life without ever hearing of the guy, and I would have been perfectly fine. But it seems as though maybe, just maybe, that I, being in the majority of people who have no idea who Jussie Smollett was until about 3 weeks ago, that could be the problem. It seems like maybe, just maybe, Jussie Smollett didn't like that most people had never heard of him and that work wasn't flowing in his direction. A look at his IMDb page showed that while he was on a very successful show and I suppose making some good money, there weren't exactly other offers rolling in. He wasn't going to get starring in movies anytime soon, at least what's listed on his IMDb page as of right now. Well, if you want to get noticed in Hollywood, you've got to do something spectacular. Well, he's on a show that has two really good actors in the lead roles, Taraji P. Henson and Terrence Howard. Incredible actors. You're not going to be able to out-act them. So he's got to do something else. There's no such thing as bad publicity. So when he got beat up, it probably seemed like it might be a good career move. Now, I don't know if this was planned because, if you're not knowing, Jussie Smollett's the alleged hate crime heard around the world. The media jumped all over this because he was beaten up by two dudes in minus 20 degree weather who were Donald Trump fans. The two Donald Trump fans in Chicago just happened to be walking around the predominantly gay neighborhood in Chicago where Jussie Smollett was staying or lives, whichever the case is, and when he decided to go get a Subway sub at 2 o'clock in the morning. And they were carrying bleach and a rope to tie around his neck. You begin to see that this gets a little stupid. But it was, you know, the story was it's two white guys who yell, "This is MAGA country. This is MAGA country. Make America great again country. This is MAGA country." Called him gay slurs and racial slurs and punched him and beat him up. Tied a rope around his neck, poured bleach on him and walked away. As most people are wont to do in minus 20 degree weather. Just kind of loiter around just in case you can find the perfect person to fit your particular brand of hate. This story stunk from the very beginning. It kind of stunk like maybe it was a drug deal gone bad, but now, as we are learning, it seemed like it was rehearsed. There are reports from inside the Chicago police that two brothers from Nigeria have been talking to police. They were hired, allegedly, by Smollett to facilitate the attack, to make it happen. Now, what's funny is one of the brothers worked on Empire as like an extra, so there's a connection there. And the other one, from what I've seen so far, and who knows, the story's always changing, was Smollett's personal trainer. So you can't really say, I didn't recognize these guys. He also claims, and we're going to have the audio for you in a second, he also claims that they yelled at him that something about Empire and the N-word and the F-word, so on and so forth. All these liberal fever dreams. He was hitting every box on the liberal dream sort of hate crime checklist. You print it up yourself at the DNC's website. They were sitting all of, they hit all of this. Smollett claimed that it was two white guys that did this at first, yet they were wearing masks. And we have audio of him saying, you know, if my attackers had been this, that, or the other thing. I don't know. These brothers are from Nigeria. I'm unfamiliar with the Nigerian accent, but I have to assume there is, in fact, a Nigerian accent. And it can't really be confused not only with a Midwest accent, but with a Southern accent. If you're just going to go full-blown stereotype, if you're concocting hate crime, you're going to go the full nine yards. So the idea that he wouldn't have recognized something weird in their speech, it just doesn't seem really all that believable. Plus the fact that there's only about 50 seconds where he's not on some kind of surveillance camera. It just so happens to be the place where this alleged attack took place. And he didn't drop his Subway sandwich. It's all leading to BS. But I'm not here to talk about what happened to him as much as I am to talk about what happened to our media. What I'm going to play you right now is a montage of the reporting on this story just after it happened, a couple of days after it was first reported. What you won't hear is anybody questioning this at all, the validity of it. Of course it's true. Donald Trump's fans are racist. They're homophobic. So he's got both boxes checked right there. And apparently they're also huge fans of black, predominantly black shows featuring a gay character. Or gay actor. I don't know about you, but I don't know. I just suspect that racists wouldn't watch predominantly black cast shows, and homophobes wouldn't watch shows and study the characters played by the gay actors. That's just me. You know, I really hate Brussels sprouts, but for dinner every night, I have a big bowl of Brussels sprouts just so I can keep my eye on what Brussels sprouts are up to. It doesn't make a whole lot of logical sense. Nothing about this did make sense, and now we're learning why. But listen, you'll hear some familiar voices. Some of the other clips are from some like Entertainment Tonight and E! Online. The more incredulous ones are from MSNBC. It doesn't really matter. There is no line between the entertainment reporters and the political reporters anymore. It's a complete and total joke. But what's important here is the tone, the absolute unquestioning gospel truth this must be, and therefore this country is awful, and this president has made this country worse. The president had inspired this hateful hate crime. No questioning of it whatsoever. None.
Beaten with a noose around his neck and hospitalized, Empire star Jussie Smollett was the victim of a vicious, racist, and homophobic attack.
His attackers hurled racial and homophobic slurs.
Two people yelled,
racist and homophobic slurs.
Racial and homophobic slurs.
Not only homophobia, we're talking about racism. We're talking about hate with steroids.
They are looking for two suspects who were apparently wearing Make America Great Again hats.
The offenders uttered, "This is MAGA country."
The hate crime went down early this morning in Chicago.
Officials are investigating the alleged assault as a hate crime.
And now police say they're investigating this as a possible hate crime.
Anyone attacked in a hate crime like this is an outrage.
This is stomach-turning, mind-boggling information. It's out of control.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi tweeting, "The racist, homophobic attack on Jussie Smollett is an affront to our humanity."
And Senator Cory Booker said, "The vicious attack on actor Jussie was an attempted modern-day lynching."
Kamala Harris calling the attack an attempted modern-day lynching.
But I'm so shaken by the story. This is horrible to report. This is a horrible story. This is a horrible story.
Yeah. I mean, the circumstances are just horrific.
Horrendous and unacceptable.
Absolutely despicable.
Yeah, a lot of people can't believe this is actually happening in 2019.
It's hard to believe that we're reporting, that we're even saying words like this in 2019.
Mm-hmm. And this is America in 2019.
Yes, indeed, Brooke Baldwin. This is America in 2019, although it's not America the way you mean it. It's not America the way that any of those liberals meant it. They believe this country is awful, filled with awful people, led by an awful person. Just you scratch the surface and all you find is hatred and vitriol and just anger. Now, why would they think that? Because that's where they live, actually. If you follow the left, if you listen to the left, if you understand the left, you scratch the surface on them, that is all they are, is a ball of anger and hatred for anybody who doesn't bow to their whims. So it's easy to project on that. It's much easier to hate, quite frankly, if you believe you're hating people who hate you. You know, that's the way it works. If you think somebody doesn't hate you, or worse yet, doesn't even think about you, couldn't care less about you one way or the other, is passionately indifferent towards your existence, yet you burn inside with hatred for them, well, that makes you a bad person. And they can't believe, they won't allow themselves to believe that they're bad people. But they are. They really are. So they project. Everything is just the vile coming from the right. You just see it in their anger and the attacks that they put on people. That justifies their hatred of you. And then eventually the emperor has no clothes. They end up in a situation where they have to either face the reality of what they are, the hatred that they are, the abject hatred that they are in fact what they profess to despise, what they profess to be fighting. They can't admit that. They will never admit that. So they just kind of let the story go or report on it less. This was a huge story when it happened because it fit perfectly with their narrative. The only reason they are still reporting on it now is because they made such a big stink out of it. There are countless stories of so-called hate crimes. I believe the website is fakehatecrimes.com that get immense media coverage when they are first reported. And then about 2 weeks later, it seems to be about the lag time, and it seems to be holding in this particular case. About 2 weeks later, then the police find that, oh, wait a second, the person who reported the hate crime, or who is the reported victim of the hate crime, was in fact the perpetrator of said hate crime. But that story is buried on page A27, whereas the original quote-unquote hate crime is splashed all over the front page. It's the lead story on local news that night. I write about this a lot in my book, these bogus hate crime stories, the church with the swastikas and the anti-gay slurs painted on the side of it that were discovered by the guy who was the organist for the church, who happens to be gay. And he was offended, and it was an outrage, and the media interviewed him, and they all had their say, and everybody virtue signaled about how disgusting this was. And then a couple of weeks later, after some investigation, they discovered that the guy actually did it himself. He's the one who discovered it. He's the one who did it. And his argument was, I know these things exist. I was doing it to raise awareness of what's going on out there in society. Well, that's kind of the problem, and I write about this in my book as well, the social justice warrior factory that is colleges and even high schools. They teach people that this country is horribly racist, it is homophobic, it is Islamophobic, it is everything wrong in the world. And so they empower these people with the knowledge that of wokeness, and they go out into society determined that they will fight these injustices, and they go hunting for them, and they can't find them. Because they're not prevalent. They're incredibly rare. So they then manufacture them. Because they know they're out there, but they can't find them. So they must draw attention to the issue anyway, which doesn't exist. And they end up shooting themselves in the foot. It is a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a damn joke. Such is the case with Jussie Smollett. Or so it seems. He's allegedly paid these Nigerian brothers $3,500, promised him another $500. Seems like you should be able to get your ass beat for less than $4,000, but I don't know if that's the going rate, that's the going rate. I feel like if I wanted to get my ass beat, I could find somebody to do it for like $100. If I really went out hunting for it. If I wanted a thorough job, $500 should take care of it. Somebody who would, you know, take off for a while. But what do I know? Apparently the market dictates what the price is, and it says $4,000 for two brothers, so it's really $2,000 a piece. So I guess tax-free, if you're paying in cash, it's not a bad racket. But just as a reminder, Smollett was making the rounds. He was putting out statements through his publicist, and they're denying any wrongdoing now, and they say, they'll eventually be vindicated. They don't really want to talk to police. Started looking a little fishy when they wouldn't turn over his phone records, claiming that he didn't want police to have access to his contacts. So who you calling all the time? You got a small window of time. You could probably turn over those records. But he didn't want to do it. For whatever reason, that kind of led me to believe that maybe drugs were related, but it now just seems like maybe it was a publicity stunt. Who knows? But I want to remind everybody of what this guy has said, because it was a thoroughly orchestrated scam. And the media went right along with it. He sat down with Robin Roberts on Good Morning America, who she did not really ask him any difficult questions whatsoever because the story was so traumatic. It was awful. It was terrible. You heard all the reporting about how disgusting it was and how this is what America is in 2019. How sad. Look at what Donald Trump has done to this country. Realistically, this is what the Democrats have done to this country. We have so fetishized victimhood that people aspire to it, that they think that there is a good shortcut to favorable publicity, favorable press, and more prestige if you are then a victim. By the way, the police, according to reports, leaks from inside the police department, they found out that Smollett himself had bought the rope that was tied around his neck that he left on for more than an hour, just coincidentally. Didn't drop his sub, didn't bother taking the rope from around his neck off. I don't know, maybe it's a We thought it was a bolo tie. But listen to Smollett talking to Robin Roberts of NBC News. Note that there were no tough questions in this, certainly no follow-up questions. But he absolutely, positively blames the President of the United States unambiguously.
Why do you think you were targeted?
I can just assume. I mean, I come really, really hard against 45. I come really, really hard against his administration, and I don't hold my tongue.
For those of you who don't know, the incredibly immature leftists who don't like to mention the words President Trump, they call him 45, as if somehow that's an insult, as if somehow his existence is harmed by them refusing to say his name. It's really just a childish temper tantrum. And for Jussie Smollett, I come really hard at him. The vast majority of people had no freaking idea who you are, you lunatic, you narcissistic freak of nature. They have no idea. The president of the United States, I can't possibly imagine, had ever heard of you before you had your ass beat up on the streets of Chicago in minus 20 degree weather. But listen to him. He's a hero. Oh, I go really hard at him on Twitter. Oh, yeah, well, you and like 5 million other people. Get in line. You aren't special. And that, I suspect, is the real problem here. He thinks he's special, but he's not. If you look at his IMDb page, here's some of the biggest hits that he's in. It goes back to 1991 when he was in some TV movie called A Little Piece of Heaven. Then he was in The Mighty Ducks. He played Terry Hall. Then he's in a bunch of crap that I never heard of. Crow, C-R-O, was a TV series. On Our Own was a TV series. Apparently, he was in that. Let's just say that he doesn't have the most extensive list of credits in the movie and television industry. And he, like I said, he's got nothing in production right now. He needs some sort of career boost. Were he to be written off of Empire, or were Empire to be canceled, he probably would be doing regional theater and commercial work and guest shots on one of the murder shows on CBS. Unless there's something that makes him stand out from the crowd. Now, for most people, certainly people who make it in acting, it's usually their talent. But again, when you don't have the tools, you find workarounds. This seems to me to be his workaround. The left in Hollywood loves the hatred of anybody who isn't the left. If you remember, again, when Harvey Weinstein was busted, before the extent of his perversion was known, he released a statement saying he's going to go spend a couple of weeks in rehab out in Arizona, and then he's going to rededicate himself to defeating the NRA. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you're going to start going after the National Rifle Association, maybe grab their asses. It didn't work out. All the charges and allegations of rape kept flowing, and he couldn't pull up from that nosedive. But he thought, really, that wrapping himself in the full-blown liberal progressive agenda would be enough to placate the leftist mob in Hollywood. And it probably would have been had it not been for the quantity of allegations and then the entire start of the Me Too movement. But that it was his default position, that he thought that was his parachute, is telling. And Smollett is no different. I go really hard at 45, and that's why I think that these people attacked me. You're not that important, dude. Nobody would know who the hell you are. Certainly not people out at 2 o'clock in the morning on a minus 20 degree temperature, air temperature, not to mention wind chill, in Chicago, waiting with a bottle of bleach and some rope on the off chance that they run into the no-name dude from Empire so that they can give him what for and yell, "This is MAGA country." Smollett continues to blame the president.
And there is no doubt in your mind what motivated this attack.
I could only go off of their words. I mean, who says Empire? This MAGA country ties a noose around your neck and pours bleach on you. And this is just a friendly fight?
No, it's more of a stage fight that you paid for. Isn't it lovely? Who says that? Who's going to run into your ass in Chicago and have a freaking clue who you are in the middle of the night while you're running back from a subs shop, because you're hungry? Nothing about this made any sense at all, but it sure made for a good story.
I will never be the man that this did not happen to. Mm. I am forever changed. And I don't subscribe to the idea that everything happens for a reason, but I do subscribe to the idea that we have the right and the responsibility to make something meaningful out of the things that happen to us, good and bad.
Well, you're about to be able to test that theory there, Jesse. Especially the bad part. Because you probably thought this was going to be good. And it turns out it's not going to be very good. Now, of course, when this happened, Democrats immediately rushed to judgment. This is an outrage. This is disgusting. This is who we are in 2019. Nancy Pelosi tweeted out, the quote, "The racist homophobic attack on Jussie Smollett is an affront to our humanity. No one should be attacked for who they are or whom they love. I pray that Jussie has a speedy recovery and that justice is served. May we all commit to ending this hate once and for all. Well, given the news of the last few days, weirdly, Nancy Pelosi has deleted that tweet. Kind of weird. Kamala Harris referred to it as an attempted modern-day lynching. Senator Cory Booker also referred to it as a attempted modern-day lynching. It's almost as if talking points were sent out and Democrats were all reading from the same script, or perhaps their campaigns hired the same consultants. It's kind of weird. But Kamala Harris has not yet recanted. I don't know, as far as I can tell, she hasn't been asked about this yet. But Cory Booker has. At a campaign stop yesterday, reporters asked Cory Booker about this. And it's kind of funny because within like 12 hours of this report, Cory Booker had called it an attempted modern-day lynching. And now that the story has completely fallen apart, Cory Booker suddenly wants to play the pragmatic, let's wait and see what the evidence says game.
Well, the information is still coming out. I'm going to withhold until all the information actually comes out on the record sources.
Of course, if the bald Avenger from New Jersey who ran Newark into the ground, who lied about having a friend named T-Bone who was a drug dealer who taught him about life, I'm not kidding. Google that. I'm not making that up. Suddenly, before I comment on what I called an attempted modern-day lynching, I think I'm going to wait until the evidence comes out. Why didn't you wait the first time? Why didn't you wait at the beginning there, Corey? To my mind, the snap judgment, makes you unqualified to be president. Shows sort of wrong mentality and level of immaturity that we don't necessarily need in a president. Of course, this is never going to be brought up. He's not going to be hounded about this. Nobody's going to say to him every day, day in and day out, you called this a modern-day lynching, and now it turns out to be a hoax. Why don't you condemn it? Because that would make him look bad. They're not interested in making him look bad. None of them are interested in making any of these people look bad. In fact, in what is perhaps the most disgusting display of journalistic, I don't even know, it can't even be called bias anymore. At this point, Caitlin Huey Burns, she is a reporter for CBS News, and Mava Reston, I don't know, she's a CNN national political reporter. They're both covering Kamala Harris, and they went shopping with her down in South Carolina. What you're about to hear is Kamala Harris and the reporters covering her shopping and having a grand old time. It's very short. It's like 11 seconds. She's got on this hideous sequin jacket. It's just god-awful. Horrible, ugly thing. And they're all having an absolute blast. You would think that you had just stumbled upon the recording of a bachelorette party. But instead, this is supposed serious journalists having a moment with their candidate that they're supposed to cover in a serious manner.
Oh yeah. That's it. Oh my God.
Now, what Caitlin Huey Burns of CBS News tweeted out when she tweeted out this video, she was probably thinking, well, this is a lighthearted moment. Let's put it out. It really is just exposing their bias, because she wrote, quote, "When the campaign trail takes you to a boutique and Mava Reston spots a great sequined jacket for Kamala Harris to try on. Hashtag campaign fashion report." Do you remember any Republican, male or female, where they had this sort of bonding moment where you would think you literally were listening in on a brunch where they had too many mimosas at the table next to you and they're just having a blast? They're having a gay old time. Ha, 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 ha. No, you can't. One reporter tweeted out that, well, we went shopping with Mitt Romney when he bought his wife a gift. Yeah, they didn't pick out the gift. They didn't help him shop for the gift. They didn't have a laugh over the gift or about anything. If you remember when Mitt Romney went to Poland, they were screaming at him, what about your gaffes at a Holocaust memorial? That's how pathetic they were as journalists then. And here they are just having a gay old time. It's just a laugh. It's just a hoot and a holler while covering Kamala Harris on the campaign trail. They didn't ask about Jussie Smollett. It's kind of weird because she, like Cory Booker, called it an attempted modern day lynching. We still don't know if she stands by that statement. Very, very weird. Very weird. It's almost like there's separate standards for Republicans and Democrats. But of course, there are. On 60 Minutes last night, Andy McCabe, everybody's favorite former disgraced deputy director of the FBI. Remember, this guy was fired on the recommendation of the inspector general of the FBI for lying to investigators, which is, you know, the big thing that everybody connected with the so-called Russia collusion investigation has been charged with. Not crimes that were committed before this investigation, but lying to investigators. There's allegedly an investigation into Andy McCabe's so-called, alleged crimes. We'll see if they decide to prosecute him. Probably not, but we'll see. Well, he sat down with Scott Pelley, and there's not a lot of news coming out of there. A guy's trying to sell a book. And what I want to point out is just how much of a nothing burger this actually ended up being. Of course, Scott Pelley didn't really bother with tough follow-up questions, you know, demanding proof, demanding more details. The guy just wrote a book about his experiences. One would think that he would have some details at his fingertips. But we'll never know because Scott Pelley kind of let it slide. But I want to play these couple of clips here because it's about the 25th Amendment and the story that circulated on Friday that Rod Rosenstein was trying to invoke or considering invoking or trying to push for the 25th Amendment to be invoked, where the vice president and a majority of the cabinet all agree that the president is mentally unstable or unfit to be president and remove him from office. In other words, that's a long way to say an attempted coup that would have been hatched in the Justice Department by unelected bureaucrats. Well, there's still some meat on these bones, but it's more of a chicken wing than a boneless, skinless chicken breast or even a juicy thigh. Let's listen to the first clip.
But McCabe says Rosenstein raised another idea. The 25th Amendment to the Constitution allows the vice president and a majority of the cabinet to remove the president.
A discussion of the 25th Amendment was simply Rod raised the issue and discussed it with me in the context of thinking about how many other cabinet officials might support such an effort. I didn't have much to contribute, to be perfectly honest, in that conversation, so I listened to what he had to say. But to be fair, it was an unbelievably stressful time.
Now, the buildup to this was it was a nefarious cabal sitting around this big group of people, smoke-filled room, plotting against the president of the United States. That anybody brought it up is bad enough. But then to hear McCabe tell it, it really doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Now, Scott Pelley on Friday was saying the biggest thing was these 8 days in May when they really thought the president might be compromised and they had even seriously considered invoking the 25th Amendment. To hear McCabe tell it, it's, you know, a bunch of other things in the middle of vomiting up a word salad. One of the things that came out of the guy's mouth was this. There's a disconnect between how this was hyped by Scott Pelley and how this was actually said, which is a testament to just how bad a journalist Scott Pelley is. You don't sugarcoat the truth just because there is no sizzle or there's only sizzle and no steak. That's what you found. That's what reporting is supposed to be. but the truth might not have gotten as many eyeballs on it as 60 Minutes wanted, so he had to make it sound more nefarious.
It was really something that he kind of threw out in a very frenzied, chaotic conversation about where we were and what we needed to do next.
What seemed to be coursing through the mind of the Deputy Attorney General was getting rid of the President of the United States.
Well,
one way or another.
I can't confirm that, but what I can say is the Deputy Attorney General was definitely very concerned about the president, about his capacity, and about his intent at that point in time.
Did you hear Scott Pelley's serious journalisming in the middle there?
The President of the United States.
What kind of a follow-up question is that? There were a thousand things you could have asked for more detail on. You could have asked for a lot more color on. You could have gone into different topics instead.
Sounds to me like...
And then you just regurgitate what was just said to you? Now, what makes this a non-story, what makes this a shocking non-story, and really hurts the credibility, limited as it was already, of Andrew McCabe, is the fact that he has no real memory of how this happened or what came up or anything surrounding it. You heard him kind of give some detail there. When Scott Pelley sort of asks him again, like, hey, what about, what did he say more? In what context did it come up? McCabe says, I don't remember. There's lots going on. So if McCabe wants to make hay out of this, I know 60 Minutes wants to make hay out of this because they want people to listen. They want people to watch. They wanted people to watch their show last night. If McCabe wants people to take him seriously, he A, needs to tell this story to sell books, but B, he's doing a bad job of it, a piss poor job of it, because he has no follow-up. He has no meat on this bone. He just says, well, I don't remember what he said. If it was truly something where McCabe or where Rosenstein was saying, you know, maybe we need to talk to the cabinet members, you know, one-on-one, secretly through back channels or whatever, and see if they'd be down with removing the president because that dude is crazy and unstable. If it were really like that, you would remember that moment. If you are at the moment when that seed is first planted and you take it seriously and you believe it and you really truly think that the President of the United States could be an agent of a foreign government, you remember that moment. Listen to McCabe sort of describe a vague memory of kind of that moment, he thinks.
How did he bring up the idea of the 25th Amendment to you?
Honestly, I don't remember. It was just another kind of topic that he jumped to in the midst of a wide-ranging conversation.
Seriously? Just another topic?
Yeah.
So suddenly, this big story, this big scoop, the big push, and one of the selling points of McCabe's book, theoretically, one would assume, is now just a casual throwaway. You know, when I get home, I gotta get my dry cleaning. I gotta make sure to stop and buy some milk and eggs. Maybe we should consider invoking the 25th Amendment to remove the President of the United States. And tomorrow, I've got a breakfast meeting, so I'm gonna be a little late for the 9 o'clock staff meeting. So if you could run that, that'd be great. And you're sitting there, and you listen. Well, what was the third thing again in there? Just like he just tossed it out there. And we're supposed to believe this, remembering, knowing full well that Andrew McCabe was fired for lying to investigators. A guy with kind of a history of shading areas. He said that he had been authorized to leak information, and then he'd authorized other information to be leaked, and then denied that he had anything to do with that. There's a lot of his story that doesn't really add up. But we're supposed to believe him on this, and it was just a casual mention, and I can't really remember. Well, clearly, it wasn't very serious, or you're lying now. It's tough with Andy McCabe to know which is true. But it's kind of like, you know, everybody always says, who was alive in 1963 and aware that you'll never forget where you were when you found out that President Kennedy had been shot. Now, McCabe... Maybe they talked so much about, you know, a coup, in the FBI that, you know, they're like, where were you when President Kennedy was shot? And his response would be, Ted Kennedy was shot? What? What happened? It just seems unbelievable. But again, it was on 60 Minutes. It's a safe space, so he's not really going to be challenged. Other people, other Democrats, however, are sort of challenged. We have two examples of this. Where do we want to start? I apologize for my heavy breathing. It's just my nose is getting progressively stuffed up as I speak more. So apologies for that. Hopefully soon my voice will be back to normal and my breathing will be back to normal. Let's start with the vice president, former vice president of the United States, I should say. Good old Uncle Joe. Nobody's given themselves more nicknames than Joe Biden has, honestly. He's Lunch Bucket Joe, Middle Class Joe, he's this kind of Joe, he's that kind of Joe. I don't think that anybody except for Joe Biden calls Joe Biden Lunch Bucket Joe or Middle Class Joe. But Joe Biden was over in Europe. He was speaking at a big conference. It's amazing. You can travel the world for free if you're a famous politician, especially if you're a liberal. You notice not too many people from the Bush administration are asked to go and attend these events. But the team that sent $1.5 billion or whatever it was to in cash to the Iranians to fund terrorism and untraceable hard currency, they're invited everywhere. The Munich Security Conference, Joe Biden. And you think, yeah, let's get Joe Biden over here. The world needs to know what Uncle Joe has to say. Well, it turns out that Uncle Joe isn't the biggest fan of the United States of America. He thinks now, of course, that he and Barack Obama are no longer in office, that this country is an embarrassment for all the list of things that you can possibly imagine, including the separation of parents and children at the border. Remember that? Oh, Donald Trump was perhaps history's greatest monster for doing that. What Joe Biden doesn't mention in this little clip is that the Obama administration did the exact same thing. In fact, the photographs of the sweet migrants just minding their own business, sleeping in cages, were actually photographs from 2014. And while Joe might not remember this because he has had two open head surgeries, he's had two brain surgeries. They still haven't found it, but they're planning probably go back in for a third just to check. That happened on Joe Biden's watch. That happened on Barack Obama's watch. They conveniently forget that, and it's really easy to conveniently forget things when you can sleep comfortably, nestled in the warm blanket of knowledge that you'll never be called out on it by a journalist who will get in the same zip code as you because they will all be fawning over you. But let's listen to Joe Biden actually speaking overseas, which makes this worse, about the United States of America.
The America I see values basic human decency, not snatching children from their parents or turning our back on refugees at our border. Americans know that's not right. The American people understand, please, because it makes us embarrassing. The American people know overwhelmingly that that's not right. That's not who we are.
Let me translate that for those of you who haven't suffered a closed head injury and don't understand, you don't speak Biden, because the text was released as well. I don't know what in the hell he was actually saying. He said, the American people understand plainly that this makes us an embarrassment, not that that this is embarrass. He gets way off script. But I love the end there. American people know overwhelmingly that's not right. That is not who we are. Liberals are convinced they know who we are. Don't you ever get sick of that? Have you ever noticed this trend? That's not who we are as a country. That's not who we are as a country. They know what the so-called right side of history will be, and they know exactly who we are as a country. So if they know exactly who we are as a country, and they always say, well, this is not who we are as a country, we sure seem to be doing a whole lot of things as a country that we are not as a country. Because otherwise, they wouldn't have to say it that often, right? Or am I wrong here? You know, we are not, this is, Donald Trump was elected president. That's not who we are as a country. Well, we did it. We elected him. And better than Hillary. Hell of a lot better than Hillary. I wake up every day, he's glad as hell Hillary isn't president of the United States. But to hear a Democrat say, this is not who we are as a country. Anything that happened, the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl. This is not who we are as a country. Well, they just won the Super Bowl. So it kind of is who we are as a country. But it's telling because the left always tells us how awful we are, how steeped in racism and hatred and phobia of this and istisms of that. And then they throw, this is not who we are as a country. They think this country is awful. They think this country is horrible. They think this country is the worst, most despotic place on earth. But it's not who we are as a country in their minds. Of course, if we were those things, which we are not, but if we were those things, especially as much as they proclaim us to be those things, then that would be who we are as a country, wouldn't it? You kind of are what you do. You kind of are who you are. You can't sugarcoat it unless you're a liberal, and then you know you'll get away with it. They'll never ever bother you about it. But they always seem to know this is not who we are as a country. Well, if we're doing these things, then by very definition, that's who we are as a country. You can't be a smoker, but say that you're a non-smoker, and that's who you are as an individual. I identify as a non-smoker as I suck on my Pall Mall and call it a day. It's not the way reality is. If you're a smoker, you're a smoker. If you really believe this country is horrible and awful and racist, then that is who we are as a country. If it's not who we are as a country, then there would be no, really, why would a Democrat run for office? Because everything they say that this is not who we are as a country are the things they want to change. What would you want to change if that's not, in fact, who we are as a country? If we're not what you say we're doing, what justification do you have for running for office? There is no justification. There's no need. They just want power. They just know that they are preaching to a whole bunch of social justice warriors who truly do believe that this country is fundamentally racist. It's founded on racism. It is an awful, awful place and must be destroyed, quite frankly, and replaced with the utopia that only they can administer. And then they will finally become what we truly are as a country and beyond the right side of history. Both phrases are absolutely meaningless pap that sound like they're deep, but would be rejected by Hallmark for a Moron's Day card. Oh, and speaking of Moron's Day, if you were going to... It's hard to tell who the bigger moron is here, the person talking or the person they're talking about. It, I would say, is a photo finish because the person talking is Donnie Deutsch. And for my money, once you're past the age of like 12, unless you're Donny Osmond and have been famous since you were before 12, younger than 12, you shouldn't be going by Donnie. You shouldn't be going by Joey. You shouldn't be going by, unless there's like an older, unless you're a junior or something or whatever, but professionally, I don't care what you do with your friends, but it just seems to me that if your name is Timmy or Billy and you're not 15, you should like Billy Baldwin. Couldn't you just be Bill? Billy Bush? Couldn't you just be Bill? You'd probably be in a lot better shape if you just went by Bill. But Donnie Deutsch, not Don, not Donald. I'd go by Don. But Donnie Deutsch, he's very, very mad. He's talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yes, you have to say her name like that or it is a hate crime. And he's talking about how she is an economic illiterate, essentially, talking about the Amazon deal Friday on Morning Joe. And he's really afraid that she is going to end up handing the presidency for a second term to Donald Trump. It seems to me like if Donnie Deutsch is catching on to this, if it's trickled down that far in the food chain, that maybe, just maybe, there could be a turning of the Democratic mindset that says, hey, you know what? Following this popular on social media freshman congresswoman, know-nothing former bartender who thinks that the unemployment rate is low because people have two jobs, Following her off a cliff might not be the smartest strategy in the world, but they're kind of pot committed on her. They've helped make her into a superstar, these leftists. Now they've handed her the keys to the bus. They've got to stand behind the yellow line and go wherever they drive it. And they're afraid that she's going to drive it off a cliff. And she may well just do that. Listen to Donnie Deutsch on Morning Joe. You would think that this was from Fox and Friends. You would think this was some conservative from Fox and Friends, aside from the little liberal stupidities that he throws in there. Donnie Deutsch isn't all that bright. And if Donnie Deutsch can pick up on this, first of all, why is Donnie Deutsch on MSNBC all the time, on Morning Joe every day? He's an advertising guy, has no expertise in politics. No, he comes up with slogans, ad campaigns. Not, he sells you deodorant and shampoo. He's made a fortune doing it, but that doesn't translate to any understanding of policy. Why in the hell would he weigh in on the latest North Korean summit? Well, let's go to the guy who sells you toothpaste. Let's get his serious input. I'm telling you, cable news is dead. Anyway, I'm distracting from the point. Listen to Donnie Deutsch, and there really is palpable fear on the left that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez could be leading them down the path to a massive loss.
When you have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who I find extremely dangerous at this point, I hope she doesn't tweet that, who are you, Donnie Deutsch, I don't care about you, because basically she has a Twitter following and that's her power base, to basically come out and say, as you pointed out, what a great thing it is. If we could take that money and give it to teachers, it doesn't exist. It's an abatement. $27 billion. We put down three. That's business. That's what happens. And you attach this to the Green Deal, and you are handing President Trump. President Trump now gets to go, oh, the Democrats don't want jobs. The Democrats don't want companies coming to your neighborhoods. The Democrats have a Green Deal that wants a 70% tax rate, that wants jobs for everybody, even if you just hand it to you, that just tuition, hand it to you. Socialism. We are in a dangerous place. And if people don't in the party don't start to speak up against people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is young and dynamic, but does not know what she's talking about, and her cohorts, some of these new, fresh, progressive faces, are going to hand the presidency back to Donald Trump.
I love how he's trying to sugarcoat it. Hey, she's young and dynamic, but she doesn't know what she's talking about. Well, she's got a lot of spirit and she's pretty, but she's a damn moron. Yeah, that's kind of what he's saying there, but he's an ad guy. He knows how to polish a turd, and she really is a turd. I think on this thing, he's actually making some sense, for once. For Donnie Deutsch, that's a major, major accomplishment. It should not be forgotten or sugarcoated. But you can hear he's afraid. And the rest of the Morning Joe crew, by the way, did not jump in. They did not say, wait a second, how dare you speak that way of our queen, you SOB. Go back to your Upper West Side apartment and get out of here. No, they all kind of agreed. Of course, they did it in a kind of panicked way, in the hope that it wasn't in the harsh enough terms. For my taste, it was more in the, gee, I hope she's listening, and I hope this gets through to her terms. But she's a brick. Nothing's going to get through to her. She's got a wall around her, and that wall works. Just as an example of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her so cocksuredness of everything she says being so brilliant and so right, because she's got people around her who realize that she'll be their mouthpiece. They can just feed her stuff as long as they kiss her butt. They're part of the entourage. Her chief of staff is like Johnny Drama, and she's like Vincent Chase, if you ever watched the show Entourage. Vinny was not particularly bright. Drama was dumb too, but Drama got what he wanted out of it, or maybe they're turtles, who knows. But listen to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She did an Instagram video chat thing. This is why she's popular with her dumb fans. She was answering their questions, and somebody asked her about a wall. It's a very short clip, but there's a very important bit of stupidity in here.
No matter how you feel about the wall, you know, I think it's a moral abomination. I think it's like the Berlin Wall.
Yes, a southern border wall is just like the Berlin Wall, except for, you democratic socialist moron, the Berlin Wall was built by people who shared your ideology, not to keep the hordes of masses out, not to keep the West Berliners from fleeing horrible, horrible capitalism and the free markets to go to a communist country. But no, they were there designed to keep the victims of the socialist, communist East Germany government in, to prevent them from fleeing to the West, to flee, preventing them from fleeing to freedom. She doesn't seem, it's a moral abomination. She's just so damn stupid. She's the gift that keeps on giving. I can see why Donnie Deutsch and the gang over at Morning Joe are concerned about her, because she's going to keep breaking out the shovel every time you think she's hit bottom. And she's going to keep digging. It's Christmas every day of the year with this one. Anyway, I am going to go take a whole bunch of NyQuil and try to get some sleep and try to get this throat from not being sore. I don't know that I could talk anymore if I wanted to, and I'd rather not find out because my throat hurts. I apologize for the heavy breathing, and if things seem flighty today, I am swimming in a sea of NyQuil because I am under the weather. Little bipedal petri dishes have gotten me sick. But I'll have the ultimate revenge. I'll live off them when I'm older. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. We'll be back here tomorrow, hopefully full-voiced and full mental capacity. Still, even me on half-speed is better than anybody else on Turbo Boost. So I think we did all right. Have a great day. You can email the show, Derek@DailyCaller.com. Otherwise, have a great President's Day. See you Tuesday.
Well, the information's still coming out. I'm going to withhold until all the information actually comes out on the record sources. Mm-hmm.